Has anyone this morning had the thought, if I could just have a nice experience, or if I could just get my mind in that nice smooth flow I once had, or if I could just have that insight I had back in 1973 and see the world from that perspective? You know, like the Three Bears story, trying to get it just right, trying to get your porridge just right. Anybody hoped for that this morning? To get it just right where you can kind of put your feet up and go, right, I'm in here for the day now. And actually there is no finishing line when that is our motivation. We never rest, actually, because it can always be a little bit more of this and a little bit less of that. And that peace that we seek is never found, actually. The Buddha said, fools, that's a funny word to say in isolation, it sounds odd, fools seek for experience. Hands up if you're a fool. I don't know if it sounds like an insult in Pali, it probably doesn't. It sounds like an insult in English. Fools seek for experience, the wise seek to understand it. Right? It's not in the contents or getting or achieving the right experience and pushing away the wrong experience in which freedom is found. But that's where we keep getting drawn, isn't it? It's like, if only my leg wasn't hurting, if only I could just, oh, the breath could just be a little bit more, a little bit more of that, or it could be, oh, if only this emotion would go away. We keep getting drawn into experience because it really is quite prominent, isn't it? Of course, it pulls. It's loud. The thoughts are loud. They're headlines. It's like, you know, what's one of? Tell me one of the programs they've seen running in their mind this morning. If you're not too embarrassed to say so, one of the pro. Yes.
I'm not doing this well enough.
Very good. Hands up. Anyone? I'm not doing this well enough. Anyone have that program running this morning? Yeah. And sometimes you might have it running but you haven't seen it yet. You're just going and working really hard, you know, pushing yourself, because underneath there may be a program that says you're not doing this well enough. Yeah, so that's one of the programs that run. It shouts loudly, doesn't it? There you are, trying to be with your breath, trying to be wide and soft and releasing, pulling and pushing, and then, yeah, but you're not doing this right. The headline, it's like the kind of advert on the board on the side of the bus, you're not doing this right. Oh, it's the truth. It's not the truth. It's a program that's been running you through your life. It's a program that runs us, and either we are doing it right and we feel really good about ourselves until we stop and then we fall off our own pedestal. Freedom. Actually, the falling awake is not about doing it all right. That's really good news. It's about coming out of the belief that who and what I am is defined by what my mind says and feels and does. So I'll look more into that, but first I want to give you a meditation experiment to do. So we'll sit for a little bit with a slightly different instruction. So please take your seat. So I'll just say a little bit more before we get into the experiment. So I'm calling the day falling awake, And before we can know what wakefulness is, what awakeness, in fact, the Buddha, or the word that comes from, has to do with being awake. When somebody asked the Buddha after his awakening, what are you, or who are you, he just said, I'm awake. But first we need to know what falling asleep looks like. And it doesn't just look like unconsciousness in the normal sense of what we do for 6 or 8 hours between 11 and 6 in the morning. Falling asleep from the perspective of awakening is what most of us are doing a lot of the time, which is being compelled and drawn into the programs that keep running. The programs of the mind that keep running. So let me give you an example. Anybody here have a Mac computer? Right, on a Mac, at the bottom, you have these little, I don't know what it's called, what's it called?
Icons.
Yeah, they're icons on this sort of bar. And sometimes when they're ready to arise, they jump up and down like this. They kind of, it's like, click on me and I'll be a, whatever, I'll be Skype, or click on me and I'll be a, your email program. It's very attractive, and especially when they're jumping up and down. Sometimes they just sit there. And we, each of us, we could say, this is a metaphor, have our own kind of bar with our favorite kind of programs that we run all over ourselves. All the time, and we think they're the truth. And without consciously knowing we're doing it, like we're here, we're just trying to be alive and be a, you know, relatively sane human being. And without knowing it, I've, as it were, clicked on one of these things that's jumping up and down. Suddenly, it comes up on my desktop, and I see the world through that perspective. So it might be, one of them is that I'm not doing this well enough program. It's a very, very common one. What else? Any other programs you've seen this morning? Up and running. They feel like the truth. We look through the world. Another one might be something like, I'm the only one who's no good at this. And I look around and everybody, I look around through that program and everyone here looks like they're still silent, awake. And I'm the only one. It's this sort of isolating program. That one you may have seen. Sometimes harder ones to own up to are the ones that tell us the story about ourselves, like, actually, we've double-clicked on the... actually, looking around, I'm probably the most awake in the program. Yeah, looking good today. Right? Another program, we start to see the world through that. And I'm painting them very grossly. They're actually extremely painful. Perceiving the world through any of these programs that try to define and tell me who I am isolates us, leaves us contracted in a certain way that we've lost contact with our depth and we feel like something is missing from our life. And then we run the program, actually there's something wrong with me, or there's something missing about me, or I don't quite have what it takes, or there's some indelible flaw in me. So we'll look a little bit more into that, what we're interested to understand in the path is that mechanism of where we bond, we cling to these programs, because the mind likes to bond to something. Even the definitions about ourselves that are painful and damning, we like to, strangely, are loyal to and bond to, because we haven't quite yet discovered what it means to study experience, to understand experience, rather than try to have the right experience. So that will get clearer later on, but let's do our experiment first. So please take your seat. And we'll use the mindfulness of the body breathing as our home base. And if anything else I say today, or if none of what I say to you for the rest of the day makes any sense, don't worry. Come back to the mindfulness of the breathing. This will serve you very, very, very well. So let's just take a moment to let your body guide you and show you how it's breathing right now. And the first experiment is to just practice. And then to get really interested in the moment when you've been lost that you suddenly become mindful again. And in that moment, I have a special task for you. So you don't have to engineer this if you're just perfectly deepening with mindfulness of breathing. Continue. In the moment that you notice there's a program running, and it can be even something really, you know, mundane, like, God, when's it going to be lunch? I hope she rings the bell soon. You know, one of those mundane programs, or, is this it? You know, is this freedom? I don't think much of this. I really should have gone Sufi dancing. Whatever it is your mind's doing, in the moment that you notice you're spinning a story, I don't want you to yank yourself back to the breath. I don't want you to snap back and kind of, right, okay, I'm not supposed to be lost. Right, breathing out, that's what she said, drop your shoulders. Don't make this duality between the lost mind and the mindful mind. There is no such duality. Instead, in the moment that you notice you're in a spin, stop, pause, and recognize, step back into the knowing of the spin. That which is mindful of the spin, that which recognizes, oh, it's a spin, I'm lost, that is not the spin. That is already awake. That is already aware. That is already here, undisturbed, untainted, uncompelled. You're lost. You wake up to that. You become mindful of that. Do not snap back to the breath. Instead, the breath is already there. Breathe out and recognize the knowing. Ah, I'm lost. That which is lost, that which recognizes that we're lost, is not lost. That which sees the spin is not spun. So what we're encouraging, or what I'm encouraging, is a continuity of the wakefulness, of the awareness, and not a continuity. What can easily happen in our practice is a continuity of the spin. See if you recognize this. I'm lost, I'm spinning, I'm telling a story about what happened at work yesterday and how I'm going to get the boss on Monday and blah, 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 blah. I become awake to that, this magical moment where I'm aware, and then I go, oh, I run the program of, oops, not supposed to be lost, double click on that one, right, and I spin into another program called mindfulness of breathing. And then I'm running that program all over me, and we contract and we tighten, and we might be with a few breaths and might push away the thoughts for a moment, and that might feel good for a little while, but we're creating another spin called meditation. Now, if you're very new to practice, this might seem a little bit obscure. It's fine, beautiful and wonderful to come back to the breath in whichever way you can. But if this makes any sense to you, what I'm saying, it's a kind of refinement of our practice if we're interested in awakening, actually. So the experiment this morning for our 10-15 minutes here together is simple mindfulness of body breathing. Let it support you. Let it take you to release and stability and ground. Steadying the mind, tranquilizing the mind, nourishing the mind. And just notice what happens for you in the moment that you wake up to being lost. Do you spin the plates faster to try and meditate? Or can we support the continuity of that which already knows what's happening? Oh, lost. Breathing out with the lostness, not giving it energy in the story. Breathing out, feeling the tightening around it. Breathing out and watching the spin dissolve. Watching the spin like water down a plug hole. It doesn't immediately stop. But when we're not feeding it with energy, the energy dissipates, drops, dissolves into the silence, breath by breath. So let's practice in this way to know the difference between the contents of the mind, thought, feeling, etc., and that aspect which simply knows and recognizes what's happening. Let's take a look into this.